Hare Krishna. So it's a very, very special, auspicious day today. As we all know, it is the wonderful festival of Narsingadev, wonderful festival, drama we saw. As we understand from teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that there are unlimited incarnations of the Lord. The number of waves in the ocean, that many incarnations, unlimited. But of those incarnations, three are most prominent of the millions of incarnations. And those three from our Gaudiya Sampradaya are Lord Krishna, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Sri Ramchandraji, and Lord Narsingadev. So of all the wonderful incarnations, Lord Narsingadev plays a very, very wonderful role in our Sampradaya. And a very amazing pastime of Prahlad and Narsinga. Many years back at our temple in Mumbai, we got a guest. He was a Buddhist monk from Taiwan. And he was following the Buddhist path. He came and he wanted to stay at the temple. So he wanted to spend some time. So the first 1 hour he was just going around the temple, seeing things in the temple. And he was quite amazed to see what he saw. He was not used to seeing so much color as part of his path. But one photograph very much attracted him. The photo of Lord Narsingadev killing Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad putting the garland. So he asked us, so what is this? What is happening? And is this your God? I mean, you're putting it on your walls. What is it? What is he doing? So I told him that the person who is getting killed is the father and the person who is putting garland is his son. And he completely got confused. I said, what sort of father is that? Who is allowing his son to see his murder? And what sort of son is that who is garlanding the enemy of his father? He's waiting to garland him. So we tried to make him understand, but he couldn't understand. And instead of 7 days, he left in 2 days because it was too much for him. So this very, very amazing story, which devotees, by the mercy of our dear Srila Prabhupada, we understand the guhya, the secret of this leela, this photograph that we have. A very bloody scene, very, very destructive scene, but we see on our altars this scene. And we understand by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And this whole pastime is primarily to prove or to show that Krishna is everywhere, and devotees who have the right understanding, they experience Krishna's omnipresence and omnipotency everywhere. There was a group of astronauts who came after, going in space, and they came to one school. One of the astronauts was an Indian many years back, and they came to an Indian school. The whole group, one of them being Indian. And the students, the young students, like what we saw, the wonderful kids of Bhaktivedanta Manor Gurukul. The small children, they said, oh, we are so happy you went to space. And one child in great innocence, he raised his hands and asked, did you see God there? Did you see God? And this astronaut, very intelligent people, but the Indian person replied, I try to see God everywhere, but I didn't see him anywhere. It was a very sarcastic reply. He said, God, to show that God doesn't really exist, I didn't see him anywhere. And the school had a priest, and he raised his hands. He said, if you can't see God here, how can you see God there? How can you see God there? So this is our lesson, a very simple question and a very stupid answer. But from that we understand that this beautiful Leela of the Lord is to show that how God is everywhere. And as we go through the beautiful Leela, it will be manifested. As we understand, this pastime is nothing but an outcome of an inquiry. What is this wonderful process of inquiry that we learn from our sampradaya? That somebody inquires and a qualified person replies. And from that, what happens is the churning process takes place. When you churn something, what comes out? The essence of that thing comes out. When you churn butter, when you churn dahi, you churn the essence, which is butter. Similarly, the Amrut Manthan, the essence came out, the nectar, which they were trying to churn. Similarly, when somebody asks a question, it's like a churning process. And somebody replies, is a churning going on? And here, the whole Bhagavatam is filled with wonderful inquiries by sincere devotees and replies by sincere devotees. So one of the wonderful discussion between King Yudhishthir, Dharmaraj, and Narad Muni. This is what is a wonderful feature about this great soul. When they hear something with their ear with such rapt attention, and they want to make sure that they understood everything. It's not that, maybe I didn't understand, let us go ahead. So Yudhishthir asked, that how is it that you told me that Shishupal was so envious of Krishna, but you explained that when he was killed by Krishna, his body merged in Krishna's body. He got Sahujya Mukti. How is it possible? Can you please explain this? So it's explained by Narad Muni. He said, Gopya Kamad Bhaya Kamso Dvecha Chhadayo Nipra Sambhavad Varshana Snehad Yujyam Bhaktyam Vayam Vibho. He said, my dear King Yudhishthir, he replied, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their family relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we the general devotees by our devotional service have obtained the mercy of Krishna. And he went on to explain, some or the other, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, by one of the five different processes mentioned above, one can return home back to Godhead. So he explained this, that somehow or the other you worship Krishna, you make Krishna as the object of your worship. And Shishupal was so Krishna conscious. He was so Krishna conscious. And yena kena prakarena, by somehow or the other you remember Krishna, either the gopis they were attached to Krishna, as explained, by lust, but we understand it is not just gross lust the way we understand lust to be, but it appears to be lust. The gopis, they achieved by their desires to have Krishna as their paramour, and so on and so forth, as explained in this verse. And then he said, I will explain to you this wonderful signs by telling you one more story of another demon who achieved perfection just by being in touch with Krishna. And he explains that, he went on to explain, as we saw in this beautiful drama, there were four Kumaras, the great sons of Lord Brahma. And they were wandering and they came to this Vaikuntha. And they came to the entrance of Vaikuntha, and this powerful, very effulgent 400 forms who were standing at the door of Vaikuntha. Jai and Vijay. Never judge the book by its cover. You never judge a devotee by his external appearance. They did a mistake. They saw these kids, they're very small, not even dressed at all, just dressed in the four directions. And said, how can you enter Vaikuntha? Please go away. You can't enter. Many times we do that with our kids. That, shh, don't talk. And when it comes lecture time, go out and play. It's required, no doubt. But we never judge them by just because they are kids. Because for all you know, as Prabhupada explained, they may be much more advanced than you. You must be starting spiritual life from 15% and you start with 16%. But they began their spiritual life at 80%. So they are once more spiritually advanced. So these Kumaras, they got angry. Say, how can you not allow us? They cursed Jay and Vijay. They would curse you. And when there was commotion going on, Vishnu came. I said, what happened? And they explained the whole situation. Vishnu said, this is a great offense that these two servants of mine have done. And he spoke a beautiful statement. That whatever offense the servant commits, the master is responsible. And Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. Something which we all need to learn. What is Prabhupada trying to teach us from this particular episode? He says, if a disciple acts as nonsensically, acts whimsically, the whole world would think that the guru is useless. When the servant acts uselessly, the blame goes on the master. And Prabhupada says, if at all you have any trace of love for your spiritual master, for Srila Prabhupada, then devotees will make sure at any cost they will behave properly. Because what the society sees, if the disciple is useless, the guru must be useless. And the guru is useless, then Krishna is useless. So Lord Vishnu took complete responsibility that I am to be blamed. And if you want, I will do any atonement to atone for the sins that my servants have committed. Very wonderful deep lesson we learn. But the curse had to go on. They said, we are cursing you that you have to go down, but you have a choice. As we saw in this drama, to stay as devotees of Krishna for 6 births or to stay as demons of Krishna, of Vishnu for 3 births. They said that we cannot be in separation from you for so long. So they said, we'll decide to take birth as demons. Now, while this Leela was going on, as we understand, this is a wonderful drama performance. Krishna does this beautiful spiritual drama. And there are different scenes and different pastimes that happen. So on one side is this curse happening. On the other side, this great soul, Kashyap and Diti. Diti is desperate to have children. Kashyap says, no, it's not the right time. The power of doing the right thing at the right time. The importance. Say, it's not the right time. Say, no, but I want to have union with you. I want to have children. Then heed to the advice of Kashyap Muni. She got pregnant. The whole union was at the wrong time with the wrong mindset. So many times we learn another important lesson. That we do the right things, but many a time we do the right things at the wrong time. This Prabhupada says, chanting means morning chanting. Chanting is good and we chant our Hare Krishna mantra and we must chant. We must finish our 16 rounds. But what is the best way of chanting? The right time. Chanting in the Brahma Murta. Prabhupada says, get up in the morning and chant your rounds. And many things. And we see that devotees don't usually do the wrong things. Usually. They may, but not usually. But they do at the wrong time. So the importance of time is very crucial. Husband and wife coming together is fine for giving rise to Krishna conscious children. But the right time. And then at a particular time when Kashyap was performing a big yajna, Diti gave birth to 2 children. And one of them, while Kashyap was performing his yajna, there were 5 thrones as part of the Ashwamedha yajna that he was performing. These 5 thrones, each were made of different metal, and 1 throne was made of gold, pure gold, other was made of silver, other was made of bronze, other was made of wood. There are 5 thrones. And as soon as the Diti gave birth, she was there when the yajna was getting performed. One of the child, he climbed this golden throne and sat on the throne. He was infant, just few hours old. He climbed and he sat on the throne. That throne was called Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyam is gold. Because the throne had a lot of soft pillows, it was called Hiranyakashipu. And because the child just instantaneously, just naturally ran up on that throne, which was known as Hiranyakashipu, he was named as Hiranyakashipu. The natural instinct of a child was seen. We have this wonderful samskara. after Garbhadhan, when a child is born, it is explained that, you know, they put the scriptures and they put money and different things, Prabhupada describes. And then to see what is the inclination of the child, when the child goes for money, then maybe to make it Krishna conscious that he will be a Sankirtan devotee. And he goes for books, he'll be a book distributor and all these things. And we have this wonderful samskara. But here, right from his beginning, this gentleman, I won't say gentleman, but this person, he was showing his affinity for what? For soft bed and gold. He just climbed on the throne and sat on the throne. Hiranyakasipu. He was named Hiranyakasipu, and his brother was named as Hiranyaksha. And they were such debaucherous demons. Hiranyaksha, we have many, many small Hiranyakshas right now in the world. He was just drilling the earth, usurping all the wealth of the earth for his own personal sense gratification. He was drilling, 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 and so much heavy drilling going on. I was in Moscow, and we were right on one of this train stations which are underground, and they said that this train station is almost 7 story below the ground. And I was imagining what sort of heavy drilling and what sort of heavy ugra karma must have gone to make this train station 7, because there's another platform above and the third one above. I was shocked. Luckily in India, nothing of this works. And whatever they try, it all falls down. So it's good. So whatever they try, nothing works. That's Krishna's mercy. They're trying very hard, but nothing works. They have a train, nothing works down, so they go up and they build some bridge. And at the right time, just one day before the train is inaugurated, the whole bridge collapses. Boom. So, that's what India is not meant for all this. India is meant for bhakti, you know. So, so there was so much ugra karma. Hiranyakasipu was drilling and drilling and drilling, and as the whole earth was completely in imbalance, and Hiranyakasipu was enjoying. Both were enjoying, but praritranaya saduna vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That I incarnate millennium after millennium. And Krishna said that he does not tolerate ecological imbalance. So to be eco-friendly is to be Krishna conscious. And that's why I said Krishna wanted to drag Kaliya out of his Yamuna, because he was very eco-friendly. He didn't want Yamuna to be polluted. So Krishna was extremely eco-friendly. And I see so much wonderful eco-friendliness happening here. So wonderful. So much respect we need to give to our mothers in the form of nature. But as the story goes, we'll cut it short. It is not Varadvadashi, so we'll not talk much about Hiranyakasipu and Varahadev. Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakasipu, he was very angry. His lips were quivering in anger. You know, when you are very angry, your eyes become red. But when you're really angry, your lips start quivering. Maybe we have experienced it. Sometimes we see ourselves in the mirror when we are angry. Just, he was so angry. But his anger, he was giving updesh, he was giving instructions to the wife of Hiranyaksha and his mother. And he spoke eloquent philosophy that we should not be attached to this body. This body is temporary. It is not. And he gave beautiful philosophy. But then he went on to perform the most heinous things. He said, I'll take complete charge of the whole universe. And he said, kill all the devotees. Stop all the Vedic sacrifices. It sounds familiar. In many countries in the world, the government is heavily against any of the spiritual things because they know the potency of this Vedic principles. It says, kill the devotees. Stop all the yajnas. Kill the cows. Kill the brahmanas. If I'm not mistaken, one of the temples, they were trying to perform a yajna, and Some other religious groups came and they stopped the yajna. There was fight. They stopped the yajna because they knew the power of this yajna. We are going to have yajna today also. Narsingh, in Mayapur we saw this amazing, beautiful yajna to please Lord Narsingadev. So Hiranyakashipu made an announcement. All yagyas stop, all brahmanas killed, all devotees killed, all cows killed. And took complete charge. And then he went on to perform intense tapasya on Mount Mandara. Another important thing. If we want to achieve something, we have to perform tapasya. Even the demons know that. You cannot get anything freely. If you want to achieve love of God, it's not something that you get it so easily. You have to perform intense tapasya. Chanting 16 rounds every single day. Prabhupada explains in the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. On the last days of Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to meet him. He would go to meet him every day. And he said, Haridas, what is the news? Haridas said, whatever mercy you show upon me is the news. I said, how is everything? I said, I'm fine. My body is all right. But my mind is in a diseased condition, Haridas Thakur said. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what is the disease? He said, I'm not able to finish my prescribed number of rounds. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that not finishing the prescribed number of rounds is a diseased condition. And we should, and he writes, according to Chanakya Pandit, death and disease should be taken care of immediately. Similarly, to achieve love of God, it requires intense effort. It is not easy. So, you know, Hiranyakashipu, everybody has to work hard. It just depends on what you want. If you want material life, still you have to work hard. If you want Krishna, you have to work hard. So, Hiranyakashipu went on to perform intense tapasya. What sort of tapasya was he performing? The standing on one toe. You know, I mean, even the best of athletes. You know, there was one person who was an Arabic champion. He came to meet, he became my friend. He was part of my program, one of the college programs that I was giving. And he showed me one of them. He would jump and he would show all this gymnastics to me and I was amazed. I said, this is very interesting, very, very amazing. I said, but can you stand on your toe? How long can you stay on your toe? I said, what? I said, just try. And then he could not even stand. He was very athletic body, very slim and trim body. But he could not even stand. I clocked it. It was just 12 seconds that he could stand. I said, you know, even the demons in our shastras are more powerful than you. In the most ordinary, I mean, the demons, we do forget the devotees. I said, what? Then I told the whole story to him. So Hiranyakashipu was standing on his toe for years and years. To some extent that his body, it's unthinkable that how his whole body was eaten up. I mean, if you get even a pinprick, you know, it's just so painful to get even an injection. You're wondering what's going to happen. And here you are getting eaten up. Your whole body is getting eaten up. Your soul is just some other, you know, in your bones. Hiranyakashipu was just standing with his hands up. Fire coming. It's not just ordinary fire. It was mystic fire. The whole universe was burning. That's how intense his tapasya was. Please understand. He was a serious man. He was seriously committed. He was not spaced out. Demons, many times we think they are spaced out sense enjoyers. But see the tapasya this man commits, is performing. He was in serious business. It's really serious business. So he performed this intense tapasya for years and years. And then finally he was trying to please Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma came and said, what do you want? And then Hiranyakashipu offered his obeisances. Now these obeisances of Hiranyakashipu were not necessarily obeisances out of humility and love. Many times we offer obeisances out of love, respect and humility, and we want to really worship the person. When you come in front of our dear Srila Prabhupada, we offer respects to him, we offer our gratitude. And that's what we're supposed to do. When you come in front of Prabhupada, obeisances is shashtanga. That means all the angas are falling at the feet of this great soul. That's the meaning of dandavat or shashtanga. Shashtanga means all the angas. So the mood is of tremendous humility. But that was not the mood of Hiranyakashipu when he was offering respects to Brahma. He said, now that you have come, you better came. Now you please fulfill my desires. He was very proud. But he was showing external humility. This is show bottle many times. As I was just hearing a few years back, a class that how devotional service becomes so external many times. The devotees, when they come to Krishna consciousness beginning, they are very respectful to all the devotees. They offer respects to everybody who comes. So, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. I'm sure we remember our days. Every devotee is respectable. And then as this speaker was speaking, that as we become senior in Krishna consciousness, our back starts paining in one sense. And we don't really, it doesn't become so easy to offer obeisances so much. And then we have the system of touching the ground, Hare Krishna. I mean, you know, I don't know where it is mentioned that you can offer a business by touching the ground. And then I went to one devotee's group of devotees and I saw two devotees, Hari Bol Prabhu. And he said like this. I said, what is this? This is usually victory. I said, no, Vancha. I said, Prabhu, Vancha. Is this, no? And I saw, I mean, it is so unfortunate. It's so much within our system to water down things. Prabhupada has given us such clear-cut understanding of why to do what we do. The purpose of obeisances is to offer respects with humility. Is there any humility like in this? It may be, I can't be judgmental, but at least it is very, very shallow. Our Goswamis would offer thousands of obeisances to Vaishnavas every day in spite of their old bodies. They never did like this. Right? So Harina Kasipu was offering obeisances, but it was completely with a different purpose. So now that you have come, give me a boon that I can be immortal. Lord Brahma said, Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti No Arjuna. Gita explains that right from Brahma to the minister of insects, everybody dies. So Brahma said, well, how can I give something which I don't have? So Hiranyakashipu was intelligent. As we know, he said, give me a benediction that I do not die at the hands of anyone created by you. That I do not die in the day or at the night. That in land or air, in sea, land, air or sea, neither inside or outside, by any weapon or by any demigod, by any Nagas or by any Rakshas or any demons. So he was clearly making a very clear cut, what we call the life insurance. He was trying to insure himself from everything. That's many times we do this. You know, we try to insure. You know, I know of, no offenses to anybody, but I'm sure, but I know of people who are insuring their nails. I went to one house somewhere and said, I said there was a nail insurance premium he's paying. I said, what is that nail insurance premium? I said, the nails of Narsingdev are very worshipful. Tava kara kamala vare. Na kham. We respect the Narsingdev's nails and they are worshipful and we make progress. But you know, our nails better they are clipped off. Many times, you know, they have this nail saloons and all these things. And I went to a country. And I, you know, one devotee, he runs this business of nail saloons. He's making good money. I said, what exactly is, because I didn't know. At least in India, it is not so prominent. But it is coming very soon, no doubt. So I said, what is this nail saloon? I heard of hair saloon. But what is this nail saloon? I said, nail saloon means, you know, take care of your fingers. I mean, your nails. I said, what do you do with them? I said, you will just cut it, right? Why would you need a saloon for that? You just have a clipped it off. I said, no, you have to decorate them. And there is a whole menu of how much money people can spend on nails. And the highest amount that you can spend on nails, which he offers to them, is $30,000. Because he puts precious diamonds, VVS2 diamonds, if you know diamonds. He puts precious diamonds on each, and there are people who have that sort of money that they embed diamonds in their nails, and there's color, and the color is we see this gold plating here, it was meant for the Lord, but they put the same thing on their fingers and they put diamonds, and that's how this is cost. $30,000. I said, I was shocked. I said, man, this is too much. So that's, you know, that's how he was insurance. So Hiranyakasipu, of course, on the other side, Hiranyakasipu was trying to insure himself completely that I'm protected. And Lord Brahma said, so be it. There is no real life insurance in this world. Padam padam yaddi padam natesham. There is danger at every step. And we will see how there's one step that Hiranyakasipu took, there was real danger for him. We saw in the drama. One step, and then we know what happened. There's danger at every step. Sometimes that danger is not very recognizable, but there is danger at every step. It's like a landmine. If you step it, it might just explode. Danger is every step. So Hiranyakasipu was very happy. Now that he had performed his tapasya, he has restrained his senses so intensely, he got his benediction. Like many times, at least I remember myself, when I performed Nirjal Ekadasi, one day fasting, somehow or the other, you know, controlling your senses, not eating one day. And the next day, I said, you want the best of food in front of you, because one day fasting, you want to hog it out, everything. There's no question of honoring prasad. We are supposed to honor prasad, right? We said we are honoring prasad because prasad is mercy of Krishna. But you know, then, you know, when you are hungry like that, at least I'm talking about myself, you want to just hog it out. Similarly, Hiranyakasipu, he was restraining his senses for years, intense tapasya, not eating, not sleeping. And then he got his benedictions and he wanted to enjoy completely now. You know, when a spring is to the extent it is loosened, it just flies off everywhere. Hiranyakasipu was trying to enjoy as much as he can, and he was so powerful. He was so powerful. Can you imagine? He was so very intensely powerful that Mother Nature was controlled by him. Indra, all the demigods were kicked out. They were in banishment. He took charge of Indra's throne. And then he said, you know, it is said, Takan Krishna Leela Hari Prakriti Sundari Vistari Cha Shobhavane. This beautiful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that seeing the beauty of Krishna, Takan Krishna Leela Hari, Prakriti Sundari, the beautiful mother nature, Vistari Cha Shobhavane. She's increasing the beauty of the forest of Vrindavan out of love. But that was not the case with Hiranyakasipu. Mother Nature was so scared of Hiranyakasipu. He said, 20 degrees Celsius, that's all I want. And the whole temperature was 20 degrees Celsius. Just exact wheat crops, and wheat was luxuriant growing. It was luxuriant growth in spite of demoniac nature, but it was so powerful that there was luxuriant growth everywhere. Everything was perfect by his power. That's how powerful he was. But it's explained, he was always frustrated. He had everything that anybody could want, but he was always frustrated. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, Prabhupada is so amazingly expert to bring the right essence from each purport. He said, why was Hiranyakasipu frustrated? And he says, because one who cannot control his senses, no matter what they have, they will never find peace or satisfaction in their life. No matter what they have, they can never find satisfaction. Because Brahma Bhuta Prasadatma na sochati na kangshati. You can be on a Brahmabhuta platform when you're not hankering or lamenting for anything. But a person who is constantly hankering for things that he does not have and lamenting for things that he has lost, he can never be happy. Constant frustration. Hiranyakasipu, he had everything, but he had not controlled his senses. So extremely frustrated. So as it goes further, he came back, his wife got pregnant, and she was having this seed of Hiranyakasipu in her. The demigods were extremely scared. I said, you know, one person is dangerous. If his son also comes, we are going to be having tough time. It will be disastrous. So demigods, we all know the story. They devise a plan. They kidnap Kayadhu. Indra likes to have shortcuts. You know, he doesn't, you know, we have this in Hindi, the saying, na regi bas na bajugi basuri. Those who understand, it's like if you don't have a flute, how can you play the flute? So we'll just kill this child, so there's no question of any problems. Shortcut, fatafat. That's what we think. But nothing is shortcut. You get severe reactions to everything you do. But in this case, Narad Muni said, my dear Indra, I know you are desperate. You desperately wanting to sit back on your throne and enjoy your Indra, your abode. But you, just give me, have faith in me. This child in this lady's womb, He is a Mahabhagavat. Now try to understand the amount of integrity and respect people had for Narad Muni. This was serious, because if for some reason he was not true, it would have been disaster for the demons, for the demigods, I mean. But all the demigods, the moment Narad Muni said that he is a great devotee, they said, fine, we trust you completely. The amount of trust Narad Muni had by his power of devotion. Because they were trusting for something serious, because they actually were thinking that if we kill this child, then there's no problem. We abort this child. Narad Muni said, no, trust me. He's a great devotee. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching in earlier days, it's explained by the devotees. They didn't understand much of Srila Prabhupada's accent. He was speaking very heavy Bengali accent. We heard the beautiful class by Dhananjay Prabhu the other day, that many, you know, his language was not so easily understandable. But the devotees in the earlier days said, we had full trust in one thing, that Prabhupada has not come here to cheat us. They trusted and they gave their lives to Prabhupada. Completely surrendered, wholesale surrender to Prabhupada's lotus feet. Just because they had faith, Prabhupada had derived that faith from his devotees, that I have not come to cheat us. They didn't understand much philosophy in the beginning. They understood a little later. And they got more convinced in the surrender. But beginning was complete surrender on what Prabhupada was, what Prabhupada could drag out of their heart, could get that feeling from their heart. Similarly, Narad Muni was such a highly integrated, they said, fine, Narad Muni, if you are saying, take this lady. And Narad Muni was constantly instructing this lady in the science of devotional service for months. This lady was hearing, but more important, the power of Garbhadhan Sanskar. Such wonderful science we have, that right, even the child is in the womb, there's so much effect. The child is constantly in so conscious that whatever the mother does, the child is constantly understanding. So then Kayadu, at the right time, Narad Muni left Kayadu in the palace of Hiranyakasipu, and Prahlad was born. And he was one of the most, he had four children. Prahlad was the most dear to Hiranyakasipu. He was so sweet. He was so effulgent, so brilliant. So he learned, and he said that, I want to make you the king. And then, you know, Hiranyakashipu was a serious demon. And when such demons, they have such, you know, when he wanted to train his son into administration, I'm sure he must have hired the best of teachers, you know. Best of teachers. So he called for Shukracharya's sons. Shukracharya was, and the name itself signifies many things. He was expert in doing something which his name signifies. And his sons were equally powerful. And he said, I give you charge of my... the whole school, which was run by Shandhamarka High School, or whatever you call it. He put him in the school and said, train him to be a perfect demon. I said, fine, my lord. Thou shall be done. And thy shall be done. We'll do that. So he did train Prahlad. And Prahlad was such a nice student. As the story goes, such sweet story. You know, Hiranyakashipu was so, after the child came once to meet his parents, Hiranyakashipu was great love. He has explained that he started smelling his head. That is the nature of affection. He started smelling the head of his son, and he said, sit on my lap. Laptop. Sit on my lap. You know, and then he said, oh my dear son, what is the best thing that you have learned till now? Please tell me. And he was thus, you know, with his eyes closed, he wanted to hear that, oh, Hiranyakashipu, my dear father, I'm realizing how great you are and how Vishnu is such a demon, and I want to grow up and become such a powerful demon of Vishnu. He was just waiting to hear that. Sometimes we close our eyes and we are expecting something, and then we hear something more. What? And then he said, Tatsadumanye asuravarya dehinam. Sada samudvigna diyam asad grihat hitvatma patam griyamanda kupam vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. And Hiranyakashipu said, translation. Please translate. What is it? He said, Prahlad said, oh, best of the asuras. Oh, he said, well, happy for best of the asuras. I'm the best of the asuras. King of the demons. As far as I have learned from my spiritual master, it was fine till now. Because he was okay to hear till now. Any person who has accepted a temporary body and a temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a deep, dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position to go to the forest. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent and should thus take shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the first class Prahlad gave and introduced Vrindavan in his class. Quite amazing preacher he is. In the first class, the first thing he's telling Hiranyakasipu, you go to forest. And this famous line, which is one of the famous things for devotees to meditate upon. Falling in a deep, dark well where there is no water but only suffering. Very famous for preachers, and we hear it. Once, I have shared with you, one friend of mine got married. And when you get married, you get different gifts. People give different gifts. And then we were sitting the other day, the next day of marriage, and trying to open up all the gifts. It's exciting to see, you know, what this devotee has given, what that person has given. It's nice to open up gifts. So we opened up one of the gifts, and, you know, it was a little strange gift. I said, what sort? It was quite a big gift. It was a big box. I said, must be very wonderful gift. So they opened the box, and in the box there was a bucket. I said, and in the bucket there was a big rope. And there was torch. I said, what sort of gift is that? You know, is this real? What sort of gift is that? And then there was this verse. As a grihastha life is a deep, dark well. So because it is deep and dark, you will need a torch, my dear friend. And because it is deep, you will need a rope to go inside. And because there is no water in there, you will need this bucket. But of course, it was not the right thing because Grihastha Ashram is not a deep dark well. It's the Griha Medhi life is a deep dark well. Grihastha Ashram is the ashram where Krishna is the center. So Prahlad Maharaj says that, you know, it's Andhukupam. Hiranyakashipu was very angry. But he was so powerful and he was hearing this from a small child the first time. He was angry but he started laughing. When you are very angry, you start sometimes laughing. I said, my child has been polluted. As he called Chandramarga, I want you to train my child in the perfect life of a demon. How is he being polluted? I said, Chandramarga were very scared. They were shivering. They were really shivering. I said, Lord, don't worry. We'll take him back and we will train him as a perfect demon. Do not worry. Maybe some impurities have come. Impurities. This is what he said was impurity for them. So they asked Prahlad, my dear Prahlad, where do you learn these things from? They took him back to the Gurukula and said, where do you learn these things from? And Prahlad said, what you are teaching me is all a useless nonsense. Abhaya Charana Aravindare. Prahlad was one of the qualities that we will learn in Prahlad's character. He was fearless. He was respectful, but fearless. He never compromised. This is what Srila Prabhupada, he never compromised his preaching. If he would have compromised and if he would have reduced from 4 regulative principles to maybe 2, and if he would have reduced number of, he would have got 10 times more followers. Prabhupada said, no. We are selling pure gold. And whoever can afford will come to buy gold. If we don't want to sell, you know, ordinary chain which looks like gold. There are many people to buy such ordinary chains, but we are selling pure gold chain. So Prahlad was completely fearless. He said, what you're teaching is all nonsense, but what I've learned from my Gurudev, and when Chandramarga said, my Gurudev, who is your Gurudev? We are your Gurudev. I mean, you can imagine what they felt, that he's quoting about somebody else. He said, what I've learned from my Gurudev, and what he's referring to is Shripad Narad Muni. So what I learned from my Gurudev is that no one has any friend or enemy. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. And if we were Krishna conscious, we can be loving servants of all living beings. We will not discriminate friend and enemies and we will see Krishna everywhere. And when they heard that, Amarka was very angry and he said, bring me a stick. I want to punish Prahlad. And he said, this is just like if somebody wants to cut a tree in the sandalwood forest. They'll cut a tree and use that same wood to make the handle of the axe and use that axe to cut the tree. Similarly, Vishnu has used the very part of Hiranyakashipu, his own son. He has made the axe and said to destroy the whole demoniac race. But we will not allow this to happen. So Prahlad, you go to your class and keep your mouth shut. And just listen to what I'm saying. Prahlad said, okay. As you say, my dear teachers. He was very respectful. He was never disrespectful. He went. And then after a few days, when they thought that he was completely brainwashed, deprogrammed, as we call it. He said, we had completely deprogrammed Prahlad. He said, now they presented. He said, with great happiness. He said, Hiranyakashipu, here you are. Here is your son Prahlad. He is completely a powerful, polished demon. And Hiranyakashipu said, my dear Prahlad. He was a very, very affectionate, very, very eager to hear also. I said, my dear Prahlad, please tell me, what is the best thing that you learned? At this time, Hiranyakashipu was very keen, more than the first time, to know what he has learned. Because first time he had a shock of his life. So Hiranyakashipu was waiting. He was not closing his eyes. He was really waiting. What am I going to say? And then he said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam, Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu, Bhaktische Navalakshanam, Kriyate Bhagavati Adha, Tanmaye Dhitam Uthanamam. It is very, very purifying to hear these verses on this auspicious day today. As much, so you know, while we might be knowing these verses, we might know the translation, but hearing it again is so very purifying on this day, because we can with renewed intensity pray and understand what Prahlad is teaching. These are Prahlad's teachings, which are most powerful teachings. Prabhupada was so attached to Prahlad's teachings. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to hear from Gadadhar Pandit Bhagavatam, he would go every day to hear Bhagavatam for hours. And when Gadadhar Pandit would reach the story of Prahlad and Dhruv, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please tell the story again and again and again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not able to stop hearing the stories. Even though he heard it, he said, please repeat it again. It was becoming more and more sweeter for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is said that Gadadhar Pandit would repeat the same story 8 to 9 times every day, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear the same story. That is why when we hear these beautiful verses on this auspicious day of Narasingha Chaturdashi, it is extremely purifying. So here Prahlad is saying, my dear father, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy names, forms, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering praise to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord's one best friend and surrendering everything to him. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. He was saying this to Hiranyakashipu, to worship, to do Navvidha Bhakti. Hiranyakashipu was furious. He said, Shanda and Amarga, you are the ones who are polluting my child. And Sandama said, don't accuse us. We are sons of Sukracharya. You're causing us Brahman Aprad. How can we teach him all these things? We do not know where he's learning these things from. And then Hiranyakashipu, very, very angry. He said, Prahlad, where have you learned these things from? Prahlad replied, Matirne Krishne Parata Svatova Mito abibyeta griyavartanam adhanta gobir vishatam tamishram punas punacharvita charvananam. Prahlad replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to material life make progress towards hellish condition and repeatedly chew that which is already being chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by any combination of both. He continued, Nate vidut swartha katim hi Vishnu, durasya hi baihartha manina. He said, persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life
and will therefore accept it as their leader or guru, a similar blind person. And what he say? As a blind man lead another blind man, they both fall in a ditch. He was telling Hiranyakashipu, you are blind and your guru is blind. He was instructing his father in the highest science of devotional service. And he said, don't worry, father. There is a solution for you also. I'm not just telling you the problem, I'm telling you the solution. He said, Mayam Pad Rajo Bhishekam. Unless one smears upon their body the dust of lotus feet of the Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Chaitamrita writes a beautiful verse in the section of Kalidas and Jadu Thakur. Bhaktapada Dhuliyara Bhaktapada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Avaseshatina Mahabal. There are three Mahabals, the three powerful substances which help a devotee to make progress in Krishna consciousness. Bhakta Bhukta Bhaktapada Dhuli, the feet from the lotus feet of a devotee. Bhaktapada Jal, the waters which has washed the feet of the Vaishnav. Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha, the holy remnants of a Vaishnav. Tina Mahabal. There are three powerful substances, and he says one should try to achieve it at any cost. Of course, not as in the form of fighting. It actually happened. Devotees were trying to take dust off each other and they became so aggressive. The one devotee seriously had a fracture. Serious fracture for 2 months just because he's trying to save himself from giving his dust. But that's not the way we do things. And respectful, but these three things are very powerful. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Mayam Pad Rajobhishekam, to do Abhishek. With what? With the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav. And you can imagine what was Hiranyakashipu's in a mood. He said, this child has been polluted, is corrupt. And Hiranyakashipu, maybe he had some understanding of cancer, maybe an onco-surgeon type of thing. He said, just like when we have cancer, when we have malignancy, just so that it doesn't spread, you impute your hands or your feet wherever you have this cancer, so it doesn't spread all over his body. This child is infected by this disease of devotional service. And he needs to be killed so that it doesn't infect everybody else. He called his soldiers, he said, kill this child immediately. Somehow or the other, kill him. Complete change in his mood, his love, his affection, his smelling of the head is all gone. When you trample upon the sense gratification of a materialist, he's hissing like a snake. That's what his materialist is all about. Hiranyakashipu was hissing in anger like a snake because his sense gratification was questioned. His authority was questioned. He was hearing true knowledge. It was unpalatable for him. I said, kill this child. They tried all possible means. They took tridents and they were trying to pierce this, 5 years old child. How soft his body is. Trying to pierce him with tridents. Trying to throw from mountains. Even to this day, the mountain from where he was thrown is there. If you go to this Ahubalam Kshetra in South India. The same mountain, huge mountain from which they tried to throw. Of course, the very place of Narasimha appearance is there, Ahubalam. I'm sure many of us must have gone there. We went with 400 devotees. Wonderful place. The 9 beautiful Narasimha Devas in that whole area. And this is the place where is Jwala Narasimha, and above is the place where Narasimha appeared. The exact spot where he appeared and where he killed Hiranyakasipu. Ugrasthamba, it is called. So it is explained that, kill this child, and he threw him from the mountains, tridents. And his sister Holika, Hiranyakashipu's sister was Holika, and she had got a benediction that she will not be burned by fire. Hiranyakashipu said that he's not been killed by tridents, he's not been killed by any stone from mountains. Holika, sit with the child in the fire so that he makes sure that he's burned to death. That's why we perform just before God Purnima, many Hindu perform this holi where they burn this wood. And that was the exact day where Prahlad was made to sit with Holika. And what happened? Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, there's no power on earth that can harm you. And Krishna wants to kill you or harm you, you can do anything you want, you'll not be protected. So Holika was sitting with Prahlad in his lap, and she was got his benediction. She started to burn. But Prahlad came out as he was. There was nothing that worked. And then it is said that Hiranyakashipu, he said that, you know, go and train him. And Chandramarga said, give me one last chance. Just last, we will put all our energy, complete focus on this child. We'll train him completely. And the Prahlad, they told him, do not act smart. Just do your work. Just listen to what we are saying. Prahlad said, fine, I'm sorry to displease you. And Chandramarga went out for their lunch. And Prahlad got all his classmates. He said, please come, please come. This is the nature of a devotee. He is just so much filled with Krishna. It is overflowing. The moment he gets a chance, he talks about Krishna. Irrespective of the circumstances that he or she is. So Prahlad started talking to his friends. And said, why are you wasting your human form of life? And it made them teach mathematics in a very wonderful way. And suppose you live for 100 years. Then he said, out of 100 years, 50 years goes in sleeping, because people spend half of their life sleeping. 12 hours. So 50 is gone. So he asked, 100 minus 50 is how many? He said, 50. Very good. Of course, you are not doing that. But then he said, 10 years, the first 10 years, you are children, you don't know what's happening. So another 10 years gone. 60 years gone. Another 10 years in youth, you are just trying to study, trying to enjoy through your young bodies, teenage, you know, troubles. So another 10 years gone. 70 years gone. The last 20 years of your life, you are an old man, you are good for not many things. I won't say good for nothing, but not good for many things. So 20 years gone, 90 years gone, and the 10 years, you are in the family life, trying to enjoy sense gratification. So he said, a person who is not a devotee, he spends all his 100 years simply wasting his life. So you should all repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He started clapping his hands and started doing kirtan. And the children, we have this beautiful painting in our Prabhupada's books. He was doing kirtan, and he was dancing in the middle, and his children were dancing. Demons, the son of demons, the whole Gurukul was resonating with the holy names. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You know, when children are doing naughty things, and the teacher enters, she gets furious. And here was the worst thing that Chandramarga could ever tolerate, that this child is infecting our Gurukul. Everyone is getting infected now. They took Prahlad, as we know this beautiful story. They took him to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu said, oh, please come. And they said, Hiranyakashipu, this child is a gonkis. It's finished. He is good for nothing. We can't do anything. We give up. And Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. He said, I can't control this child. Just imagine this situation. A person who can control everything, if he can't control one thing, he becomes crazy. He said, how am I not able to control this child? He's so tiny. And there's always this one thing in our life which we can't control. Krishna always humbles us. We might be big, you know, industrialists and controlling big, but, you know, you might not be able to control your child. You might not control your husband. You might not be able to control your wife. You might not be able to control the weather. There's always something you can't control. And Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, he controlled everything, but his own child, he was so furious. Can you imagine how frustrated he must be? I'm trying to kill him, he's not getting killed. I'm trying to brainwash him, he's not getting brainwashed. I've used all my powers to get this child to be the way I want. He was in the epitome of frustration. Completely helpless in one sense, but because he was helpless, extremely angry and infuriated. I said, Prahlad, where are you getting these powers from? And Prahlad was still fearless. Sometimes when somebody is angry, you start shaking and you don't answer the real thing that you want to answer. But Prahlad was, as we have this beautiful bhajan by Govinda Das Kaviraj. Bhaja hure mana, ಶ್ರೀನಂದ ನಂದನ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದುರೆ. ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದರೆ.
That he said that once you worship Bhaja Hure Manam, he said, my dear mind, please chant the holy names of Sri Nanda Nandana, because once you chant the holy name of Nanda Nandana, you become completely fearless. So Prahlad was constantly remembering Krishna. He was fearless. He said, my dear father, I am getting the same power from where you are getting the same your power from Lord Vishnu. And you know, this was, as we say, the straw that broke the camel's back. The last thing that Hiranyakashipu wanted to hear. He said, what? You mean my power is coming from that Vishnu of yours?
He was completely out of control. And he said, Prahlad. And he removed his sword.
It must be a powerful sword. The sword of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons. He was the ruler of the whole universe. He removed his sword. For whom? For a tiny five-year-old child, a completely, from an external point of view, a completely lopsided match, a huge demon trying to kill a child with his sword. I said, Prahlad, I'm going to kill you now. Let me see whether your Vishnu helps you. Where is Vishnu? Is he here?
I said, my dear father, he is everywhere. This was the main purpose why this beautiful story, that devotee sees the Lord everywhere. Said, father, he is everywhere.
And Prahlad just, I know, Hiranyakashipu just said, he's in this pillar.
Prahlad said, yeah, he's in the pillar.
Please understand, you know, when we perform dramas, the Prahlad, the person who's acting as Prahlad in a drama, he knows very well that there is a person in behind the pillar because he's acting. This typical drama, we always find this drama, from suddenly there's one pillar in that, in a year, you're not there, but you know, we have all these dramas. It's a unique situation. In this drama, there's a pillar in between, and we know that something is there behind. It sometimes shakes. Sometimes the Hiranyakashipu is looking from outside, you know, outside. There's this one drama which I saw. It was done by little children. And Hiranyakashipu, he asked this question. He was about to ask, is he in the pillar? But he forgot his dialogue. So he said, Prahlad said, yeah, he's in this pillar. because he knew that he's in the pillar. But Prahlad, on the real story, he had complete conviction. He didn't know. It was not that Hiranyakashipu was super, what, fixed there. Okay, you be here now. Okay, when right time comes, when the music starts, you come out. It was not like that. It was not acted. Prahlad had complete faith. Please understand the situation. For all of us, we have seen a drama. In a drama, we know that Hiranyakashipu is right there with his mask and everything. But Prahlad, what was his situation? Just imagine, this child had such faith, such dhrita shraddha, such nishtha in the Lord, that yes, my dear father, he is in this pillar. Amazing faith. I said, Hiranyakashipu said, I am going to kill you. And let me see this Lord of yours saving you. He beat with to the pillar with his fist, hard fist. The pillar cracked. And then came an amazing sound. Screeching sound, which Hiranyakashipu had never heard in his life. It was not part of his sound clips which he had. What sort of sound is that? Huge, heavy sound. And then from the pillar came this beautiful form of Narsingdev Bhagavan Ki. Prahlad saw this, and Narsingdev appeared from this pillar, this beautiful form as we see in this on our altar. And it's explained that he was half man, half land, and Hiranyakashipu was trying to figure out, what is this? Who is this? And then it's explained that he had this beautiful mane, his chest was broad. He was a perfect V-shaped body, as we say. And we all want to make a V-shaped body. The best person who had a V-shape is Narsingdev. Broad chest, thin waist, powerful, big nails. That's where the nails come. Tava kara kamala vare nakham adbhuta shringam. Just imagine, these nails are so ordinary. I mean, so dirty for us. But the same thing of the Lord becomes worshipable. And we sing about it in our prayers. The nails. And for us, nails is not a place where it gets dirty. We want to just clip it out. But the Lord, everything about the Lord is so transcendentally beautiful. And the Lord's nails
And he was squeaking heavily, and he was so huge. And it's so beautifully depicted by the empowered painters of our ISKCON, by Prabhupada's, had empowered them so beautifully that they could depict. And we see this beautiful painting in which they are shown so graphically, wonderfully. That thing, they were so huge, and Hiranyakashipu was appearing like a small fly. And Narasingha Dev was like a huge fire. And this fly was trying to fight with this fire, but for sure he was going to be eaten up by this fire. And he was trying to first eat and figure out who is this? Then he took up his sword and trying to fight. And Hiranyakashipu was playing. As we know, that for the kitten, the mouth of a cat is the most safe place. But the same mouth for a rat is death personified. This form of Hiranyakasipu, when Prahlad saw it, he found it as his mother, his father. That's why we have one form in that Ahobalam Narsingha called Malola Narsingha. Malola means the mother Narsingha, where Prahlad is sitting on his lap. Malola Narsingha. He was seeing it as his mother and father. But for Hiranyakasipu, that same form of the Lord was death personified. He was trying to fight. He was trying to kill him. Narsingha was playing with him. Sometimes the cat catches the rat, and then leaves the rat, and the rat runs, thinking that he is very powerful. He is very smart. He has overpowered the cat. But again, the cat catches the kitten and plays. That's how we see this. Maybe you're not seeing it, but we see in Bombay very often. We have this cat rat. Maybe you've not heard the story, but sometimes it's quite. It doesn't fit in this example, but in olden days at Radha Gopinath Temple, the place where I was staying, we used to have this big rats, huge, gigantic rats. It was a dirty temple at that point of time. It was poor. It's still not so rich. It's still poor temple. It was very dirty, and there was huge rats. And then we said that if you want to take care of these rats, because they would come in the DT room and all these things. So we bought a cat, and we put a cat so that the cat can take care of the rat. And then the next day morning we saw what's happening to the... So we couldn't see the cat at all in the room. And they said, where's the cat gone? And we saw the cat on one of the top on the ceiling. She was shivering. So scared of these huge rats. The rats were so huge. The cat was shivering up there. That is the power of Bombay rats. Very, very, very huge rats. But usually the cat plays with the rat, leaves and again plays, and at the right time just devours the rat. So Narsingha was playing. He was waiting for the right time. As we said, to do the right thing at the right time. He was playing, and the right time when it was just sunset. This wonderful Leela, what is depicted in this beautiful painting here. Narsingha went at the outside of the house. On his lap. He pulled him on his lap. Right at when it was sunset. With his nails, which are not even any weapons. He was not a creation of Lord Brahma, as he was benedicted. And he killed Hiranyakasipu. He tore apart his abdomen, took away his heart, and took away the intestines and wore it around. Narsingha Dev, Bhagavan, Ki. So everyone was scared of Narsingha Dev, and he was such a ghastly sight. It was a very, very ghastly surgery. And when you go, we have this hospital in Mumbai, Bhakti Vedanta Hospital. And we have this operation theater. And we were trying to figure out what right photographs to put in the whole hospital. We wanted to make it Krishna conscious. And the surgeon said the best photo you should put outside of the operation theater is Lord Narsingha Dev. Because he is the supreme surgeon, and all surgeons should take blessings of Narsingha Dev before they do their surgery. Because he did the powerful surgery. He ripped apart the intestines of Hiranyakasipu. He was the first original surgeon. So then as he did his surgery, and he was so angry. He was furious. He was like fire. And in the assembly, to see this wonderful episode, they were all demigods. Everyone was present, including Narad Muni, Lord Brahma and Lakshmi. They wanted to see this form of the Lord, very unique. But when he had killed, he was so angry, Narsingdev. He wanted to do something. Sometimes when you're angry, you break something, you want something more to break. You just pick up, as you want to throw everything. People who are mad and crazy out of anger, they want to do something. Narsingdev was so angry. He said, he has to be pacified. But he said, we can't go, we are so scared. This is, Lakshmi, they said, I can't recognize him. She could recognize him as the husband. She was so angry. And then Narad Muni, the guru of Prahlad, said, I also can't go. Prahlad, you should go and pacify Narsingadev. And in the beautiful purport, Prabhupada writes, a tremendous humility of Srila Prabhupada. He says that sometimes Narad Muni was so humble that in spite of him being his guru, he saw Prahlad as being better than him. He said, you are more qualified to go and pacify Narsingadev. And Prabhupada writes the purport that I also feel that someday my disciples will become better than me. And based on their power of their devotion, I will find myself in the spiritual world. What a humility of Srila Prabhupada. We cannot even dream of what this statement really, being true. How can we ever think of being great than this great soul, Prabhupada? Prabhupada writing his purport. One devotee came to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, you are so great, you are so wonderful. You are like the 13th Mahajan. The 12th Mahajan, Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. And Prabhupada said, you are the 14th. Prabhupada was always wanting to make his disciples, his followers, greater than him. He said, he was so encouraging. He was so humble. Prabhupada writes in his purport that Narada said, Prahlad, you go. He didn't say that, I'm your guru, how can I tell you to go? You know, Narad Muni was very humble. He said, Prahlad, you are qualified. You go, you're more qualified. And Prahlad went. He went to Narsingdev. They said, oh my dear Lord, I am not qualified in front of this great demigods. Try to understand. This was a point in history where the great devotion of Prahlad was proved to the world. Prahlad was seen as the greatest devotee of Narsingdev compared to Lakshmi, compared to everybody. But Prahlad didn't say, I'm the world champion now. He didn't go out of his pride. This is the decoration of a devotee. When a tree is laden with fruits, it is naturally humble. It just bends down. And Prahlad went to Narsingadev and said, my dear Lord, I'm most unqualified. I'm born in a demoniac family. Nija jati, nija janma. I have a very fallen birth. But somehow, by the blessings of these demigods and all these great people, I'm coming to you to pray for you and to help you to get pacified. Narsingdev saw Prahlad. It was for him that he had come. He said, my dear Prahlad, I was so angry to see the atrocities that this father of yours had done to you. Please ask what you want. I will give you anything that you want. Prahlad said, a wonderful thing. The wonderful quality of pure bhakti is taught to us by Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. The quality of bhakti is anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulilyane krishna anushevanam bhakti uttamam. He said anya abhilashita shunyam, that when you do bhakti, pure bhakti is anya abhilashita shunyam, no desires, no other desires, seven except to become the servant of the Lord. And Prahlad said, I have not come to do business with you, my dear Lord. It's not that I did all these austerities as a price to be paid so that you give me something in return. It is just so natural to do what I did for you. I don't want to do any business. I don't want anything from you. This is the wonderful trait of the great devotees of the Lord. They don't want anything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was showing his Mahaprakash, he was asking his devotees, what do you want? He asked Kalavacha Sridhar, what do you want? Sridhar said, I don't want anything. He was a poor man. He didn't have even enough money to have a good house or one pair of clothes. He could ask something. He said, I don't want anything, my dear Lord. This is the power of bhakti. So Prahlad said, I've not come to do business. But if at all you want to give me something, if you insist that you give me something, that you want to give me something. I said, take care of my father. I love him. He is my father. You know, he's been a demoniac person. His whole life has been, is Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhoga Vancha Kare. His whole life has been completely bahirmukh, or being completely opposite to looking at you. He was completely a demon. Please take care of him. And the second benediction I ask, that till the time, even there's a single soul on this earth, I want to remain here to help them to be Krishna conscious. I don't want to come back to your lotus feet. I want to serve you right here to help every single devotee to remember Krishna. And that was the mood of Vasudev Datta, who was also Prahlad in Chaitanya Leela. He also begged that I want to just have lifetime after lifetime to assist the devotees to remember Krishna. So this is the beautiful mood of Prahlad. Anya Abhilashadashuni, he was not wanting anything else. And of course we know that this was the mood of our dear Srila Prabhupada. He took this amazing journey. We keep on speaking about this journey, because there is never enough to speak about this journey. It was just the fire of compassion which was burning in his heart, which took him, make him take this journey. 3 heart attacks, no money, atrocities, 1 year of complete failure in that crazy foreign place, cold. Continued. It was a fire of compassion. He said, I'll die in New York, but I'll never go back to India. He would sometimes feel like going back to Jalutha. It was still there on the shores, but he never went. He said, no, I will die here as a fighter. Prabhupada's compassion. He wanted everyone to remain Krishna conscious. And following in the footsteps, on this auspicious day, we would like to just repeat our Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written 5 beautiful prayers to Lord Narasingadev. As we understand that our Aradhya Bhagavan is Radha Krishna or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur in these beautiful prayers is teaching us how to pray to Lord Narasingadev in order to achieve the love of Radha and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. As a first class Gaudiya Vaishnava, so I would like to read these beautiful prayers, and maybe we can offer these prayers from our own hearts to lotus feet of Narasingadev today. He says, within my sinful heart, the 6 enemies headed by lust perpetually reside, as well as duplicity, the desire of fame, plus sheer cunningness. At the lotus feet of Lord Narasingadev, I hope that he will mercifully purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Lord Krishna. Weeping, I will beg at the lotus feet of Lord Narasingadev for the benediction of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Navadvip, perfectly safe and free from all difficulties. When will this Lord Hari, whose terrible form strikes fear into fear himself, ever become pleased and show me his mercy? Bhaktivinoda Thakur further prays, even though Lord Narasimha is terrifying towards the sinful souls, he offers great auspiciousness unto the devotees of Lord Krishna headed by Prahlad Maharaj. When will he be pleased to speak words of compassion unto me, a worthless fool, and thereby make me fearless? Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, he will say, dear child, sit down freely and live happily here in Sri Gauranga Dham. May you nicely worship the divine couple, and may you develop loving attachment for their holy names. By the mercy of my devotees, all obstacles are cast far away. With a purified heart, just worship Radha and Krishna, for such worship overflows with sweet nectar. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, saying this, will that Lord diligently place his divine lotus feet upon my head? He is praying to Lord Narasingadev to put his divine feet on his head. I will experience sublime love for the divine couple Radha and Krishna, and undergo the ecstatic transformation called Sattvika. Falling on the ground, I roll about at the door of Sri Narasingadev's temple. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. These are beautiful prayers offered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he's praying to get the attraction for the holy name of the Lord, to remove the obstacles in our being devotees of Radha and Krishna, our being devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for us to get love for the holy land of Navadvip. He's praying intensely at the lotus feet of Narasingadev. So let us all also try to pray. This is a day of praying. Lord Narasingadev is supremely merciful on this day, and we desperately need his mercy for protection. We are constantly getting attacked by this demon, this powerful enemy of Maya. And we need to be protected by this enemy, and we have the protection of Narasingadev. That's why Prabhupada started the system of praying to Narsingadev after every aarti to seek his blessings, so that we can he protects us. On a larger sense, we pray for protection of all the devotees worldwide, and on a larger sense, we pray for the protection of every living entity in the world. So let us pray to Srila Prabhupada, who I was thinking is non different than Lord Narsingadev. In the dusk of his life, when Prabhupada was old, at the dusk of his life, he came to this world. He went to the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu. The whole world, the whole material world is the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu. And in that kingdom, he attacked, he challenged the very power of Hiranyakashipu in the form of Maya. And he ripped Maya to pieces. And he gave that legacy to all of us. But let us really take on this legacy and respect and offer our complete respects and gratitude to this great Vaishnava in our life, who is non-different than Prahlad, who is non-different than Narsingadev in our life. In our life which was filled with darkness, and life which was filled with being a kingdom of Hiranyakasipu, trying to enjoy sense gratification, the teachings of Srila Prabhupada through his disciples and through his grand disciples are coming in our life. And Prabhupada is creating this wonderful mood in our life, the wonderful mercy that he is giving all of us. Let us thank Srila Prabhupada. It's a day to thank Prabhupada, the day to thank our parampara, a day to thank the wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are so wonderfully serving his mission and carrying on this wonderful legacy of helping us to get equipped to fight against this enemy of Maya and helping us to become Abhoy Charan, the way Bhakta Prahlad was. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? I think it is exactly time to end.